Welcome to Baraka Church. We are starting the year with a special guest speaker, Jeff Slider. As we look forward to beginning a new year, we often resolve to make it better than the last. Some might think that an easy task, having lived through 2020, but 2021 could still surprise you. Today, we focus on the resolutions that make a difference and what you can do to have a great new year.
Now, if I keep the mask on, will you pretend like it's Jonathan? Okay. Actually, he is not here this morning. I want to deliver a message to you from him, and that is he wants to let the church know that he's deeply saddened to miss this first Sunday of the year. But Denise and I tested positive. We are doing fine with normal symptoms, but he's not here. So I apologize that he's not here. Sometimes I apologize that I am here, but you get what you get, and we're going to be in the glorious Word of God, and that's where the message comes from. I would hope that you will be praying for Jonathan and Denise. Please pray with me, too, for Tim Peria. I love that man. He is near and dear to me, and he has been in the hospital since, I think, the 13th of December and on a ventilator all that time. And I just would ask that you give the doctors wisdom and that they might be used of him, of the Lord, to do some miraculous things. But in it all, we are here together to praise and glorify our God. And I've got some good news for you. It's 2021. Yay! Okay, now, if Friday night at 8 p.m. was any indicator of what 2021 is going to be like, I'm all for it, okay? And if you don't know what that's referring to, then come see me later and I'll talk Buckeye with you. But the reality is, it's a new year. It's not a new life. It's not a new world. It's not a new country. It is a new year. Now, I'm hoping that you guys had a great Christmas. But it caused me to think back about those days when my kids were young and little, and we would get these toys, and on the box is this great picture of what this toy looks like and how much fun a child is having with that toy, and then you open up the box. And there's 432 different pieces. And a sheet of instructions on how to assemble it. And in fact, at the top of that sheet, you see those words that strike fear into the heart of every father. I heard it. Some assembly required, okay? I can remember times when I would hear my parents down in the basement working on presents for me, and my father's language was less than Merry Christmas because there was some assembly required. That's the year 2021. You know what? You're not just given a plaque. You're not just given a new book. You're not just given a new something or other. And whoa, it's all different. We're on a whole different travel agenda. No, 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 my friends. 2021 has some assembly required. And the assembly is our responsibility. How will we assemble 2021? I'd like for you to turn to Psalm 37. We're going to talk about this psalm very briefly. There are three words in one of the passages from this psalm that gives us the instructions, the directions, the steps for assembling a successful, a praiseworthy, a glorifying 2021. Psalm 37 is a psalm of David, and it says to us, we've got to remember that in this new year, in this Christian life, there is some assembly required. And it starts out with, do not fret when wicked men seem to succeed. Do not envy evildoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. And then skip down with me to verse 27, which says, turn away from evil and do good. So shall you dwell forever. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our God and our Father, we are thankful that in this new year we do not walk the path alone. That, Lord, even though we don't know what is ahead, we do know who handles and holds this year. Our prayer would be that you would use us as your instruments to make this year a year of praise, of glory, of salvation, of peace, of comfort. But Lord, help us that we might do our part in coming near to you and glorifying you. And Father, that we might do our part in assembling this year for your glory. We thank you for it. We thank you for this time together in your word. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. I want to tell you, Psalm 37 is unlike most of the Psalms of David. It is not a devotional psalm. It doesn't have a lot of praise. It doesn't have a lot of prayer or petition or confessions in it. It is instead an ethical psalm, meaning it gives us instruction on how our lives should be lived. And that's very different than most of David's psalms. In fact, in verse 27, we see that summation of Psalm 37. 27 is a good instruction manual for the new year. That new year, 2021, has three instructions on how we should live in order to see success and have a whole different 2021. We don't want to repeat 2020. Let's go forward with 2021, but we have to do our part. He starts out in verse 27 very simply. He says, I want you to depart. Depart. He says, turn away from evil. If we are to have a good 2021, it's time for us to do our part to turn away from evil. It is our time to flee, escape, run away. In fact, it literally means to run and turn tail. We are not supposed to stay and examine all these things to live a life of looking on evil or wrong or immorality and say, oh, wow, that's really interesting. No, we're supposed to flee. Now, I don't know if you are aware, but I worked with the police department for 25 years. And during that time, we went into buildings that were nuts. I've seen things that we shouldn't see. But you know what? You're not safer staying by the fire or the burning building. You don't go into a burning building and linger. You know what? This world is a burning building. We have got to stop lingering at the things that defile our God. I've never seen any of our firefighters go into a building that was on fire and stand there and say, wow, look at that burn. Man, look at that smoke. I've never seen a curl like that before. No. They go in and they actively attack the fire to put it out. Unfortunately, we as Christians sometimes actively go in to observe. And when you become an observer, you often become a statistic. I love the fact that God says, flee, run away, turn your back to it. That's what repentance is all about. It's a 180-degree angle turn where you're going away from that which distracts you from God the Father and doing what is right. Are you doing that? I love the picture of people going downtown. I'm an old guy. I used to go to Lazarus and watch the Christmas window. And when you go down there, man, you just put your nose right up against that window and say, ooh. But some Christians are like that with the world. We are so enamored with those things that draw us away from God that then we get drawn away. And I've heard people say, well, I can't reach people unless I'm going to where they're at. That is called brinkmanship. Okay, that's an old political term. It's where you come to the edge of a precipice and you get closer and you get closer and you get closer. 9 times out of 10, it's going to lead you over the edge. You don't want that. God doesn't want that. God has said it is time for you to flee all of those things. He says in 1 Corinthians 10:14, flee from idolatry. What is your idolatry today? We don't have a statue of Balaam that we're bowing down to, do we? But in 2021, our idols look a lot different. Hopefully, it's not politics. Hopefully, it's not materialism. Hopefully, it's not, and you can make that whole big long list. These things draw you and distract you from the living God and take us down a path that is not glorifying to Him. We have got to stop walking a walk of brinkmanship. I love the song we sang. Bring your addictions and your temptations to the foot of the cross. You know what? If you can't flee it, give it to Jesus. And I'm not standing up here telling you, I'm telling me. Trust me, this world tempts me, and the idols of this world tempt me as readily as anybody else. We need to flee those things that distract us from the living God. You understand? We're called His children. If we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we've been adopted. We have got to stop being those children that are so enamored with disobedience. Where are you in that walk? If it draws you away from the Lord, it draws you away and is evil. Evil are those things that are not good. It can be rendered all evil. Okay, we need to understand if it takes us away, it's not right. It is interesting to me that some profess to be Christians, but still think that it's okay to think the same thoughts, to have the same words, to go to the same places, and to do the same things. I don't see that description in the scriptures. Let me ask you a question. If you're a Christian and claim Christ as your Savior, how is your life different? Does your life look like everybody else's outside? Oh, I go to church on Sunday morning. Okay, what else? What else? I played in youth work for 25 years. Loved doing youth work. I'm still a big kid. Talk to my wife, she'll tell you. Okay. And by the way, hi, honey. I've always wanted to do that on a game show. You know? Hi, dear. I'm spinning the big wheel. But we used to play a game in youth group. It was called Convict the Christian. And you would choose somebody out of the youth group and you'd sit them down on the witness stand. And sometimes we'd even handcuff them to the stand. And we say, you stand accused of being a Christian. Rah. And then we would present a case against that person. And oftentimes it was, well, they go to church or they attend a Christian school or they have this many Bibles or... The question is, if you were accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? I know in my life there are many, many, many days no one would know the difference. That's not fleeing evil, that's embracing it. Or at least living amongst it. And trying to put on the camouflage of this world and trying not to garner attention. But Christ says, I want you to flee this world because the best is yet to come. And I want you to promote my world because I'd like to take as much of this world with me to heaven. Flee this world. There are too many Christians who practice that brinkmanship, a willingness to expose themselves to risk to achieve some end in their life, whether it's good or bad. Is it wise? No. Walking as close to sin as possible is only asking to get yourself into the sin. I love the example that we sometimes see in our children who read the rules. I don't know if you watch this show, and please do not condemn me for watching it, but I get a big kick out of it. It's called Young Sheldon. The interesting thing with this kid, smart as he is, he has no knowledge, no social skills whatsoever. And he's kind of like a lot of Christians. When his mom says, go to your room, he'll go to his room. But then he'll go out the window because mom did not say, and stay there. We're kind of like that, aren't we? Oh, I won't do this. But God didn't say I couldn't go here. We need to flee evil. And one of the things I used to watch working with the police is we would come up to these accident scenes that were just atrocious, and sometimes they were even fatal. And it was interesting to see not the accident, but the people trying to go by. And they would slow down, or they would be rubbernecking. They're trying to see, man, look at how that car ended up. How did it get in that tree? You know, or look, are they taking out body parts? I mean, the rubberneckers were terrible. And you're trying to get them moving along. That's what they'd always do with the chaplain. Come on, come on, come on. Because they were busy. And the reality is, a lot of these people who were busy looking became statistics. Because they hit people. They weren't watching in front of them. They weren't watching beside them. Or they were hit by people. We as Christians look at this world with such curiosity that it's easy for us to become part of the statistic. Don't be a Christian rubbernecker who becomes a statistic. It is so easy to do. Remember, we are changed creatures. We are new. We now are adopted into the family of the living God. Our Creator has paid for us, written up adoption papers in blood, and said, this is you. Amen. Why then do we want to look like that which He brought us out of? I find it interesting. We've had some people in the services with all their Buckeye stuff. Okay? And next week, after Monday the 11th, we may or may not wear that same stuff anymore. We'll see. But the reality is, we are more excited to identify as Buckeyes than we are as Christians. Why is that? You know, as a Buckeye, I get all kinds of grief from people from Michigan. It doesn't stop me from wearing my Buckeye stuff. I've got a jacket over there. Ohio State. But as Christians, we think, oh, if they know I'm a Christian, they're going to turn from me and they're going to treat me poorly and I don't like it. And yet we'll embrace the Buckeye brand, but not the sin-scarred hands of Christ. How sad is that? We don't flee evil. We try to hide amongst it. I love that David says, if we're going to be Christians, we need to flee evil. It will compromise your faith. It will compromise your walk. We need to depart from it. And the word in the Hebrew there means run full throttle. Are you doing that? Or are you kind of standing around rubbernecking and saying, this isn't so bad. I won't do it. Until you do it. We need to flee towards Christ and away from this world. The problem is, and again, not every blessing is evil or wrong, but if it's distracting or if it's turning you from Christ and your growth as a Christian, then it's not right. Going to Hawaii is a wonderful thing, a great blessing. But you know what? It shouldn't replace your worship of the Lord. Our families are such a blessing. I love our kids and praying for them and watching them grow and prosper. But you know what? That shouldn't become our Lord. We can love them. We can be blessed by them. But it should not replace God's place. That would be evil to flee. We have to understand that we have got to not be Christian rubberneckers and depart the sin and the scene and see what God has for us. Next, what do you need to depart? Avoid it. Avoid it. What do you need to depart? And it's going to look different for each one of us. I mean, what tempts me is going to be different than what tempts you. I love the fact, or I don't love the fact, that evil seems to have our number and knows what buttons to push. You know, whereas I may be tempted by one thing, you may be tempted by another, and what tempts me doesn't even begin to scratch the surface on you. What is it that you need to avoid? Is it something on the internet? Is it something at work? Is it something in your heart that you're fostering? What is it you need to flee in order to be closer to God and doing the second part of this instruction? Second part of this instruction is you need to flee, and then verse 27 says, and do good. So you're going to depart evil and you're going to practice good. You're going to practice good. It's not enough for us to hunker down in our houses and avoid the evil. We need to go out and proclaim the good. If Christ has made a difference in your life, then don't be greedy and keep it to yourself. You need to do good. Now, I'm not saying that you need to go out on the street corners and preach, though you can do that. But what kind of acts of good come from your faith in Jesus Christ? Are you an encourager? Write a note. Write a letter. Text someone and say, I'm praying for you. Are you a prayer warrior? Oh, my goodness. You can change the world, my friend. I am praying for my friends and family members that are struggling with this COVID. Now, I leave it all up to God, but I'll tell you what. That is a ministry called prayer that you need to practice. I love my wife. She has a ministry of doing good deeds and works. She'll make a meal for you at the drop of a hat. And I love the fact that her faith in Jesus Christ manifests in practical acts of doing good. What are you doing? You say, oh, I don't have any, I can't do this. Well, I certainly can't do this stuff. I always am jealous and envy the folks who do our worship service. But you know what? There are some things I can do. And I need to practice those things. I need to do good. It's not enough for me to sit and be fed. I also must feed. What are you doing to do good? I find it interesting that many people know how to avoid evil, but very few people know how to do good. You want to change this world? You want to change the unrighteousness in this world? Do it with love and loving acts of kindness. Open a door for somebody. Give them the right of way on the road. Show them what having Christ in your heart means. Does it make a difference for you? Can they tell a difference in you? Are you doing good? Maybe God's blessed you with financial help that you can give others. Maybe God's blessed you with some talents that you can minister to others. What good are you doing today? Okay, don't just minister to the dog. Get outside your house. Minister to this world, which is in such deep and dire need. Bring them Christ. It's the greatest need this world has. I see these signs, and I wholly agree. End racism. Man is inhumane to man. That is wrong. But I'll tell you what. There's no program that's going to end racism. Only Jesus Christ in a heart is going to change the way we treat one another. Systemically or individually, that is the only thing that will truly change a heart and a life. So are you out there changing this world through good? Are you practicing what you preach and what others preach, that you should be progressing with good? Do people see you and say, man, it's great to see you? Because you practice good, a good word, a kind encouragement, a ministry of prayer, of caring, of sacrifice, of doing what is right and good? David says, turn away from evil, but that's not enough. Do good. Do good. And I like the fact that there's no conditional clause in there. Do good to those who treat you nice. Or do good to those who deserve it. No. It's do good, period. It's a command. Are we doing good? I love what D.L. Moody said. Our great problem is the problem of trafficking in unlived truth. We try to communicate what we've never demonstrated in our lives. Yow. We try to say Jesus is the answer when we haven't shown them the answer in our own lives. We try to traffic and communicate what we've never demonstrated in our own lives. The grace of God gives us the power and the ability to do good. What good are you doing today? What good have you done today? One of the things at a church I was at years ago was, if you're in this church and you're not ministering in this church, then you're not in this church. You're just attending. I kind of call that spiritual leechism. People start sucking on that vein, and they're getting all kinds of blessings, but they're not putting anything back. What are you giving to this body in Jesus Christ? And even beyond these walls, what are you giving to the greater body of Christ? Are you praying for these other pastors that we pray for? Or is it just a once every Sunday morning thing? I hope you're praying for them. Are you sending support to folks who need support? Are you helping families that need help? You know what? If you're professing faith in Christ and not practicing faith in Christ, your faith is dead. James says, faith without works is dead. That's a horrible conviction. Jeff Slider, you can preach all you want, but if you're not practicing what you preach, it's empty, stinking words. My faith has to be shown in deeds, not just in words. When people look at you, do they say, wow, they do so much good? Do you reflect Jesus Christ? Are you that light on a hill, or is it hidden under the basket? One of the best ways that you can proclaim the difference that Jesus Christ makes is showing it through your acts of kindness and good work. So David says, do good. And finally he says, and dwell forever. Meaning fellowship with God. We depart evil, we do good, and we need to dwell with him. Some of us get distracted by this world. And then we feel like we're alone and we think, where is God when I need him? The problem isn't that he's left the house, you've left the house. We need to dwell with him. How do we dwell with God? In his word, in his worship, in our work. Ooh, I alliterated that. We need to be God's children in a visible portrait before this world. And in doing so, we dwell and fellowship with him. I love the fact that our songs this morning talked about dwelling in the house of the Lord. Are you doing that? Or are you a homeless Christian? Don't live on the street. Dwell with the Lord. This is a resultant blessing. Okay? It comes from avoiding evil. It comes from doing good. And it results in that feeling of home. We need to dwell in the land and be fed by the truth, but we need to practice a relationship with God the Father. Only those who depart evil and do good, though, will know what it means to dwell with the Lord. So he goes on and he says, turn away from evil, do good, so that you may dwell forever. There's a blessing, a hope, a joy, a growth that comes from a holy life. If we are in fellowship with the Lord, we will know what it means to dwell. One of my favorite passages in Scripture is, of course, Psalm 23. And I share it with so many of my patients as a hospice chaplain. But one of the best verses is verse 6, which says, surely goodness and kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is my hope. That is my goal. That is my joy. If you're feeling alone in this world, if you're feeling afraid in this world, it's because you're not dwelling next to the Lord. I can remember growing up, and I'm not talking about physically, obviously, but growing up as a kid and finding great peace, great contentment, being in the house when my parents were there. And I can remember many a night where I would have some sort of horrible, awful, bad dream, and getting up, going down two sets of stairs, and coming up to mom's bed, actually my parents' bed, and saying, oh, I had a bad dream. And she says, get in bed. And I'd sleep between she and dad, much to dad's chagrin. And I felt comfortable. I was home. I dwelt between them. Are you dwelling with the Lord today? Are you enjoying his fellowship? Are you getting into his word? Are you asking for his Holy Spirit? Are you fellowshipping with his children? You know, we're not orphans here, kids. We are in this together. Are you dwelling with the Lord? Ever wonder why you seem discouraged? It may be because you're not in the house. You need to get in the house and find your place of shelter. We need to dwell with the Lord. 2021 is here. It's a new year. But my friends, there's some assembly required. And the instruction that God gives us is threefold. Depart the evil, do the good, and dwell closely with the Lord. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we are so thankful that you have not left us here alone to fend for ourselves, but Lord, that you are here with us to guide us, to direct us. Father, we are so thankful that your hand is sufficient. Help us now that we would depart that temptation of this world, that we would flee that which separates us from you. And help us, Father, that we would practice what you have set before us in doing good deeds, in working and waiting on others. Help us, Lord, that we might glorify you through every act of kindness. And Father, help us in this new year to dwell, to fellowship closely with you. And Lord, if there are any here this morning, either in this building or listening to this word, that do not know Christ as their Savior, I would just ask, Father, that you would rain your Spirit down upon them to show them that there is still need, there is still answer in their lives. Father, if there are any here that do not know Christ as their Savior, my prayer would be that you would have them come to myself or Jonathan or one of our leaders to talk more profoundly, more precisely about what it means to have Christ as our Savior. And Lord, may that be the greatest decision of 2021. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. We give you praise and glory. Father, we love you. And we love you in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for joining Baraka Church today. It is our sincere hope that you are blessed with a more peaceful and enriched life. We can be found on the web at placeofblessing.org, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or come worship with us at 2440 U.S. Highway 23 North in Delaware, Ohio. Baraka Church, a place of blessing.